Welcome to the Revision Path Podcast, brought to you by Revision Path, a showcase of the world's black graphic designers, web designers, and web developers. I'm Maurice Cherry, and this week I'm talking with front-end developer Irv Briscoe. Irv is the founder of Vaughn 91, an interactive design studio based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Design and web development is a big passion of Irv's, and he specializes in building experiences that make people's lives easier. Now, this is a bit of a longer interview. It's about an hour in length, but we touch on a lot of good topics, so I hope you enjoy. Okay, I'm here talking with Irv Briscoe. Irv, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I'm a front-end developer. I basically write code, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, jQuery, all the cool languages. I build web and desktop applications for, I've worked with Target, currently doing a project for Subaru. I've done a few stuff for Polaris and a few big brands here and there. But I'm primarily a front-end developer.
Okay. Now, I was about to ask you about your agency and your brand experience. I was looking through your resume and through your website. You've worked with some big names. How have those experiences sort of helped shape you as a front-end designer?
I started out freelancing and working with small clients. Whenever I've gotten a chance to work with a big brand, I usually just jump on it. And from working with them, I kind of like working with smaller clients because the bigger brands are a little harder to work with. They have a bit more of a corporate atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot slower to get things done and to implement cool features. They have to go through the whole chain of command and all that good stuff. But from working with them, I've gotten a lot of great experience, and I've worked with some really smart people.
That's cool. Yeah, I'd imagine that even working with big brands, aside from the slowness that you're kind of talking about, you have the opportunity to have your work seen by a large number of people that you may not. You have a lot of exposure, I would say, that you probably wouldn't have through smaller clients.
Yeah, it's always cool to see a commercial for an experience that you've built. My first, like, oh my god, this is so fucking cool moment was when I built Sunny D does a campaign every year, Drink Up and Download. I got the chance to do front end for their Drink Up and Download app. Mm-hmm. And whenever I saw commercials for it, telling people to go to the app and to register their code, I was always excited. I was like, oh, look at that. I built that. it's always nice to have that feeling of pride and when you see something that you've been working on for a few months and you've put a lot of hard work in and it's being promoted to a large amount of people and a large audience. It's really cool.
That's awesome. How do you sort of keep motivated and inspired with your work?
I hunt for inspiration like crazy. Tumblr, great one. Designspiration.net, Dribbble, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I've used Twitter a lot. A few months ago, I got the chance to go to New York for a month, and I met up with a lot of buddies that I've known on Twitter, and I've been going back and forth on and arguing about new UIs or, you know, development techniques. Got a chance to meet them, and that was a great experience. I totally forgot the question.
I was asking how you sort of keep motivated and inspired, but you did give me something else I wanted to ask about.
Yeah, no. So from meeting them, that was a great experience, and, you know, the collaboration between once you meet a developer and you hear what they have to say and you compare and contrast different techniques that you guys use, that's always fun to do. But for inspiration, I have a lot of online resources that I go to every day, and there's always friends I have a lot of creative friends that always show me cool things that they're working on, and we give each other feedback on ways to make the experience better and make things easier for the user.
Cool. Yeah, one of the people that I've interviewed before, I think he told me about you, Sonongo Akpem, who did Lost Nigeria and Pixel Fable.
Yep. He's one of the people that I met up with in New York, first time meeting after years of going back and forth on Twitter.
Nice. Who are some of your influences? Like, have you had any mentors that have helped you along the way?
Yeah, I have a few like personal mentors that I've known since I was a kid, and people that I've looked up to. But people like Jeffrey Zeldman, Tim Berners-Lee, people that are doing great and awesome things for the web. Those are people that I follow religiously on Twitter, and you know, try to keep up with what they're doing and the things that they're sharing. Because it turns out that they usually share things that are, you know, new and upcoming, and things that are they themselves are early adapters.
Uh-huh.
And it's great to piggyback off of them to figure out, you know, what's new, what's coming on, what should I look out for development techniques and cool implementations of features for browsers and all that good stuff.
Okay. So let's shift gears a little bit. I know before we were talking about your agency and your brand experience, and you have your own, I don't know if I'd call it a design studio or a design company, Von 91.
Von 91 is something that I've been experimenting with for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
It started out as Briscoe Web Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much, I got a big contract with a government organization out here in Minnesota, and I needed to get an LLC. So I was like, okay, I'll get an LLC, and started out at Briscoe Web Solutions. Started doing some work under that, getting clients, and then I was like, Briscoe Web Solutions isn't a cool name at all. So I rebranded, renamed to Von 91. Von being the opposite of NOV, November. I was born November,
mm-hmm.
and 1991. So I was able to mash that together, bring out Von 91. Through Von 91, I've been able to work with a lot of cool developers to work on a lot of cool projects for numerous brands.
Uh-huh.
And it's been great. It's turning into a studio. I'm not sure which direction I want to go with it yet. I want to build it up and be able to work with more developers and get something solid. Right now it's a few friends of mine, a few coworkers that I've worked with, and a few designers that I've done some projects with, and we just collaborate on our projects here and there. But it's something that I'm tweaking and figuring what to do with, and I want to expand it and grow as much as possible.
And how long has Von 91 sort of been going?
Actively probably about a little over 3 years.
Okay, cool.
I'm anal about development. Writing code is something that I love doing. I've loved doing it since high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Von 91, the direction that I really want to take it in is to be like an in-house development studio. I partner with a lot of designers here and there, but I want it to be that studio that does development, builds great apps,
right.
and really cares about the products that we're putting out there.
Right. So the focus is more, like you said, it's on development. It's not really
on
design.
It's not really on design.
I got you.
Yeah, because I started out as a designer. I love design, but I got frustrated with not being able to develop my own design. So I got into development, and I love it. Things that you can do is just crazy, and it blows my mind every day whenever I see a new specs or new features for browsers and stuff like that. And I have a huge passion for development.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to share that and to be able to help other people get that passion and see how awesome development is, and to collaborate together to build great experiences for users.
How is the, design development, development, but well, let's just say the overall tech community, how is that? You're in Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
How's the tech community in Minneapolis?
It's better than I ever thought. 2 years ago, had no clue there was a tech community in Minneapolis. I pretty much learned everything that I know from the internet, following Chris Courier and other developers out there that are sharing techniques on their blog. But recently, I've been going to a lot of JavaScript meetups here, and Monday, a few days ago, I went to my first Ruby meetup, and it was great. I learned a lot. I've been thinking about getting more into Ruby on Rails, and just from that experience, I learned a lot, met a lot of cool developers that do develop in Ruby, and the atmosphere here is supportive. If you want to learn, just go to a meetup. Anyone that has written the language that you're interested in will put themselves out there and let you know, hey, I'll be able to help you out if you have any questions. And it's really easy to find a mentor to learn a new language.
Nice. Yeah, I recently bought a book called Learn to Program by Chris Pine, because I'm also trying to get more into Ruby, because I want to be able to build apps and things. So I have development experience, but I am really trying to learn more into development. So that's good that the Minneapolis community, the tech community, is really supportive. How have a lot of those meetups been? Have they been pretty good? It sounds like it has.
They're great. We have a few small stars out here in Minneapolis.
Uh-huh.
We have oh God, I'm throwing a brain fart right now. jQuery UI Day Picker was created by, or was kind of started by Mark Rubinsky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to have someone that has a lot of experience with JavaScript and jQuery out here. And he's readily available. He has a company out here. He does a lot of projects out here. He also travels a lot. But he's based out here, and it's great to go out to those people. I can't go up to Chris Coy and, you know, every day and be like, hey, how's it going? You know, what are you working on or whatever? Or how do you, you know, do this or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
But Mark's out here, and I've asked him quite a bit of questions whenever I'm building something, and he always sticks his neck out and tries to help out as much as possible, and that's great.
I heard Chris recently moved back. I think he's in Milwaukee now. I think he just recently moved back from being out in the Bay. So I don't know, maybe he'll start doing more appearances and things around that area, like around Milwaukee or Minneapolis.
Yep. He's been out here a few times.
Okay.
And Jeffrey Zeldman comes out here with an event apart every year. And that's great to see people like, Eric, God, what is his name? I'm just throwing brain torch right now.
Eric, what did he do?
He's more well known for his CSS reset.
Oh, God, what is his name?
Eric Meyer.
Eric Meyer, right.
Yeah.
Is he out there in Minneapolis, or he just comes
no,
out?
No, he's not
the...
out here.
Okay.
He comes out, well, he's with the Event Apart crew.
Okay.
An Event Apart crew. And they come out here every year, and it's great to see the people that you've been following, you know, year round that, you know, come out here. You can meet up with them, shake their hands, know that they're actual real people.
Mm-hmm.
That's always great.
Have you, outside of, I guess, the meetups and things, have you been to any tech conferences, any development conferences?
Yeah, an Event Apart, I went last year.
Uh-huh.
I try to go as much as I can, but usually I'm busy doing whether it's projects or going out shooting. I do a bit of photography. And I try to do as much creative stuff as possible to make me an all-around better creative.
Uh-huh.
That's something that I'm trying to focus a lot in currently. I started from, I want to be a great designer, got really into design, I want to be a great developer, got really into programming and development, and now I just want to be an all-around great creative, and I'm dabbling here and there and in different creative fields and trying to see what I can do, see if I can do some cool stuff here and there.
How was your experience at event? How's your experience at an event apart?
It was great. I learned a lot. I don't know. Conferences are great here and there, but I try to do at least two a year.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I like writing code, and I always watch the videos that they post out. If I don't go to a conference, I usually watch their videos, and that's and it's free. So that's great. Sometimes you don't have the money to fly out somewhere and pay for expenses and stuff like that. So the videos are always nice. But my experience with conferences, I've loved them. It's a great way to meet other programmers and other people that are in your field, and connect and all that good stuff.
Back to Vaughn 91, how do you, I guess, what's the best way that you sort of find new work? How do you choose your clients when it comes down to what you do? Because it sounds like you're really invested in making sure that you care about the project. It's not just, oh, we need to get projects in to sort of, you know, keep the bills paid.
Yeah.
How do you sort of go about that process?
Well, I feel like every freelancer starts with, I need to get my bills paid.
Right.
like that's, you know, that's something that you gotta make money to pay the rent.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously I started out as that. And as I evolved more as a creative and as a programmer, I started getting, you know, bigger clients and better work. And I'm switching more. I've noticed that I'm switching more towards, I'm doing this project for the money to I'm doing this project and you're the client. I'm the developer. We're building this experience and we're on even playing field. We're not doing work for you. You're not just paying us. We're doing work together.
Right.
So we're going to, suggest things to make the experience better. And really build a great product that we believe in, and not just something that you've dreamed of and want to put out there. We try to, whenever I work with a designer, we collaborate and we try to make the experience more interactive for the user. And so, I think I've gone off track a little bit.
No, you're good. You're good.
Am I good?
Yeah.
So right now, so currently, my projects are more geared, I forgot what question. Sorry.
No, we were talking about sort of how you find clients, the best way to sort of find work. But this is all, it's the process. Yeah.
Sorry, this is obviously like my second interview. I did one Forest Podcast? Yeah, Forest Podcast, I don't know, a while ago. But this is my second audio interview.
Don't worry about it. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
So yeah, whenever I'm doing a project, I like to, I have a way set up. So I invoice weekly, get paid hourly. So if a client says, "Hey, we don't want to go with you anymore," they can end that relationship whenever they want.
Uh-huh.
And whenever a client is going, you know, bonkers and crazy, we can, you know, end that relationship. And I feel like whenever you're creative and you're working with a client, you want to be in an open relationship and you want to be on the same playing field.
Right.
You don't want to be a slave to that client and building something that you don't believe in. Obviously, you have to have good arguments against why you think something is better. And I feel like being a creative and having a bit of freelance experience, it helped me get better with communicating with clients and letting them know this is the web. It's changing. It's dynamic. It's robust. We can do all these cool stuff for you. But some of these cool stuff aren't going to be great for you user. They're not going to take advantage of these features. Let's drop a few of these. Let's add a few, to make this experience better. I guess I'm more user centered. I think about the user a lot more than some developers that I know. Mm-hmm. I think that us developers should stop thinking, these are my requirements, this is what I'm building, but also think, this is what I'm building, but this is also what would make it better, a better experience. Going that extra mile and building something that you really believe in and that you really care about.
All right, I got you. So let's say, for example, because I have my own business too. I've had it now for about 4 years, and I always find that sort of in the beginning, there's always a bit of education that you have to do with the client at first, because you get, you know, different kinds of clients. Some come and they're educated about the process, they know what they want, and it's a very smooth procedure throughout the entire project. And then other clients come and it's a lot of hand holding, a lot of spoon feeding. If there's something that you could tell clients to try to, I'd say like any newer prospective clients, if there's something that you could tell them to help, I guess, ease the whole project process, what would it be?
I guess I let them know right away that what we're building has their best interest in mind. We're thinking, how do we make, you know, what they want the best thing possible, or the best thing that we can put out there.
Uh-huh.
I guess just letting them know that you have their best interest in mind, and getting that trust from them, so that you know they can really trust in you and communicate. What's the word that I'm looking for? Openly with you.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I find that it can be a bit of a challenge at the beginning because the client, you know, they may have different constraints. The biggest constraint I tend to find is budget. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes a client will come and they just say, I need this now. Do it. You know, like working at the, you know, like you're a tool as opposed to a person that cares about the project and wants to make sure that you get the best, you know, sort of output for the user and for the client. So
yeah, I try to stay away from most clients as much as possible. Development is something that I really love doing, and mm-hmm. if I ever see a client that that is, you know, going down that path, you know, I tend to push them away a bit, you know, let them know, hey, I'm sorry, I can't work with you.
Right.
It won't really, our relationship won't be well if we work together. And I don't, you know, I try to push them away as much as possible. So picking, noticing those things right off the bat, and picking your clients select, like being very picky with the projects that you take and the clients that you work with. Last month while in New York, I met with a few brands that I really wanted to work with. And we've been going back and forth and talking about working together. I just got my first New York City brand, and it's Left Field in New York City.
Congratulations.
I'm so psyched. They're a great brand and they do great stuff. And I feel like I'm getting more into working with the brands that I really want to work with.
Uh-huh.
And they notice that right away when you're pretty excited to work with them. And you give them great ideas off the bat.
Uh-huh.
They notice that, and they're even more excited to work with you, in my opinion. That's what I've seen. Right.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But as far as, sorry, I think I skipped a few or something in your question earlier. But as far as acquiring projects, I don't know. I go out there. I try to meet up with all the cool brands that I really want to work with, and let them know that, hey, I want to work with you. You guys are great. You guys have a great branding. Your design's stellar.
Uh-huh.
We feel like we can make your web experience a lot better. Here's why we can do that. And try to acquire them if possible.
Uh-huh.
A few of my bigger projects have just come like sporadically, out of nowhere. I would get an email here and there. Hey, we have a project. You seem like a good developer. You guys do good work. Do you want to work together? And that's always great. I've gotten a lot of referrals, a lot from Twitter. Funny thing is, I got my first full-time gig from Twitter.
Wow.
That was great. I was being a bit cocky. there's this agency out here called Fusion Room. Mm-hmm. And I remember I tweeted them. I was like, hey, you guys should hire me, .. Seriously. It was because their website at that point was really bad. And I was like, hey, you guys do great work. You have great client. I'd really like to work with you guys. Turns out that the tweets were going to the CEO. I got an interview, ended up working with them for a little over a year. And that was great. I feel like people underestimate Twitter. That power of one to many and many to one is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to contact, to get in contact with anyone right away, ask them questions, whether it is, can you describe this CSS property to me? Or like a few times I've got into a few problems where I did not know how to implement something, or something just wasn't working quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tweeted it out, hey, this is my code, like a JS fiddle. This is my code. This is what I'm trying to implement. What am I doing wrong? And I have had a few friends on Twitter, tweet me back, hey, this is the right way to do this. And I'm eternally grateful for Twitter and the help that I've gotten from everyone on there.
There's something that you mentioned that I think, that you just talked about that's really interesting about sort of the peer collaboration aspect when it comes to design and development. I know that I've run across designers and developers that are almost stingy when it comes to collaborating. So say, for example, if it's a problem or something that they're running across, they won't try to put it out to the community to sort of shop it around and try to see what the solution is, because they feel it might expose their deficiency as a designer or a developer, and they want to come off as someone that knows their shit, basically, which I don't think helps. I don't think that helps the community as a whole when you're sort of like that. We're all sort of helping each other out because this technology and everything changes at such a rapid pace.
Yeah, and in life, no one really is an expert, especially with technology.
Right.
And development. There are always new specs. There are always new and better ways to do something. If you feel like you're a professional developer, I call bullshit on that all the time. And I'm like, are you saying? And if you're, I feel like if you have a problem, don't ever be afraid to fail, first of all. Right. You're going to do it a lot. That just happens.
Right.
You learn from it, and you move on. It's life. I have no problems with sticking my neck out there and saying, hey, I have no clue how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone help me, or can someone point me in the right direction? I learn from it personally. They also learn from it. They share that resource.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like us human beings, we're sharing culture, especially with social media. Everyone wants to share what they're up to, what they're doing, what's cool. And all that good stuff.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with looking dumb. I feel like I learned from that, from those experiences personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, people that feel like they're professionals and know what they're doing, that's definitely the wrong way to go.
I wonder if that's, I don't know if that's a generational thing or not. I've found that, the attitude we were sort of talking about before, about the people that don't really want to share or help out, that it seems, I found that mostly among older designers, maybe ones that might have started out, I don't know, maybe in the 90s or so, where the sentiment is that they were self-taught and they're still here, 20 years later or whatever, And it, when it comes to helping out, I don't know if it's a pride thing. It's a bit odd. I don't quite understand that. But speaking about sort of generational and age things, so you mentioned earlier, sort of tangentially, I guess. So you're a young you're a young developer.
I am. I'm really young.
How has that sort of helped you or hindered you think, in any sort of way, when it's come down to the work that you get or the experiences that you've had in this community? How has that been?
I felt like it did at first, especially when I was a 19-year-old developer working for an agency and fresh out of high school and in college. I felt like it kind of sucked a bit. People would look at me and think, "Hey, this guy's only 19 years old. He doesn't know what he's doing." And I would get compliments. "I've been doing this for longer than you have." And that kind of bothered me a little bit. But you get over it and you learn. But now that I'm 21 and I can grab beers with other developers, I'm perfectly fine with it. I still get a few comments, "Hey, you're a young guy," whatever. But I don't feel like age should hinder you from doing what you want to do in life. I was lucky enough to figure out what I wanted to do at an early age, in high school, and I'm still doing it and I love it. This is like a passion of mine, and I would really like to be doing this for the rest of my life. So if some people here and there say, "Hey, you're only 21," I'm like, "Hey, I'm still not where I want to be. I still have plans and goals, and I am working hard to get to them." And I feel like age, people get, clumped up in these age groups. And that's kind of the way how our educational system is. If you're this age, you're in this grade. But there are people way smarter than the grades that they're in. And they have to be in those grades because they're, that age. I don't feel like you should personally feel, "Hey, I'm only 21. I shouldn't be doing this, or I shouldn't be going out there and doing whatever I want to do, or pursuing my goal."
I would almost say, well, I'm not going to almost say, I'll say that younger designers and developers have a greater advantage starting out now than I think people 10 years ago, because, and I, well, yeah, 10 years ago, because for a lot of designers and developers that sort of started out in the early 2000s or so, when it comes down to resources and things, there was nothing. Well, not nothing. There wasn't a lot of stuff. There were books, there were websites. You went to a website, you viewed the source code and tried to reverse engineer it. There were sites maybe like dynamicdrive.com where they had these little DHTML snippets and you tried to sort of figure out how it all worked. Whereas I think now there's so much stuff just in terms of educational programs at institutions of higher learning. So like Full Sail, I know DeVry has a good course, and then even colleges like Georgia Tech has a really good sort of, not web design but or web development, but they certainly take that into account in their computer science majors and things. There's web-based stuff like Codecademy,
Treehouse.
Treehouse, Code School.
Yeah.
For younger developers and designers, they're getting not only the benefit of a lot more learning environments, but also that they're learning those best practices that it took the designers 5 and 10 years ago, years to figure out.
Yeah.
So
Learning.
when you're sort of coming up, you're like, "Oh, I'm learning the best way right now that can be used right now."
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more easier to learn web development now than it was probably 10 years ago. And I don't know. People say that it's so hard. Look at this code. Oh my God, it overwhelms them. And I'm like, no. A few of my friends and I always my designer friends and I always debate whether or not they should learn code. Code is, I don't know. I feel like writing code is so fun. And that might just be only me or a few people. But I feel like JavaScript is one of the funnest languages ever. Just writing it and debugging it, figuring out what's wrong, and once you, there's always that aha moment when you're a programmer, when you get it, and you're like, oh shit, this is, you know, this is how this works. And when you get something to actually, you know, work that you've been working effortlessly on for like 2 hours, and it finally works, and you just put your hand in there and like, yes.
Yeah.
That's one of the best feelings ever, in my opinion. And writing code and learning how to write code is not hard. People say that, oh, only smart people do this. This is hard. The next generation that's coming out, that's in high school right now, those kids are gonna need to learn how to write code.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest industry right now. There are awesome tech startups and companies out there that are building great experiences. And I feel like if there are more smart people developing and programming, we would have even better. I remember when Flash developers were switching over to HTML.
Mm-hmm.
We got crazy cool experiences and user interfaces because they brought their Flash experience over to JavaScript and HTML and CSS. And they started building like some of the coolest experiences ever and just using JavaScript in ways that no one else thought to use them.
Right.
So I feel like if more people from other industries and other creatives learn how to write code, we can only get better.
I agree wholeheartedly. Are there any personal projects that you're working on right now?
Personal projects? God, I have so many personal projects. Some of them on the shelf, some of them I dabble in here and there. Right now, for the last few months, my time has been spent mostly on the projects that I'm doing for Subaru and Left Field, and just trying to figure out the direction that I want to go for Fawn91. And I just started working with a new developer with Fawn91, and he's great. And we've just been kicking ass, and it's great to be able to. It's great when you work on your own projects and you're in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked under a lot of people here and there over the past few years, and it's great to get those experience and bring it all together and work with other great developers to build something that you have full control over and you can be proud of and you can really own.
Where do you see yourself in the next, let's say the next 5 years in terms of your business, creative wise, where do you sort of see yourself in the near future?
I don't know. I try not to think that far. I'm more of a in the now person. I don't know. In five years, I don't think I'll be writing as much code in 5 years as I am right now.
Okay.
I've been writing less and less code. Last year I wrote a shit ton of code, but I've been working a lot with other developers and really trying to teach,
mm-hmm.
As much as possible and try to share the techniques that I've learned. Because five people can do more work. A lot better work than one person.
Right.
And I've had to learn that the hard way, where I've been like working 24/7 trying to build something super awesome. And I'm like, oh man, this would have been done already if I was working with another person. So I want to collaborate more, definitely work with a lot more developers and designers over the next few years. Try to grow Vaughn91 to be, you know, something that I work on full time, and that I do, that I spend, put a lot more effort in. And I really want to do more awesome stuff. I want to build more awesome applications. I want to work with a lot of cooler brands and brands that really know what they're doing and have honed in on their market and know what their goals are, and how to make their, you know, the users. I've, I've, Okay, so I'm gonna just like go on a short little
No, go,
tangent
yeah,
and then
go.
come back to that. So with Vault 91, I've been trying to home in on the e-commerce and publishing industries. So Left Field is a part of that e-commerce. They have an online shop. We're redeveloping their web experience and probably their mobile experience. So I've been trying to home in on those two industries. And that's my goal for Vault 91. I want it to be known for those two things. I feel like publishing is booming. There are a lot of great blogs out there, a lot of great rich content, and people don't know how to convey that to the user effectively. And I feel like if we can help those publishers, it'll make their life a lot easier. The users will love them, and the users will be able to their users will be able to, digest that content easily and faster. I'm a speed freak, and I love it when applications are fast, efficient, and just fluid across the board.
If you could choose any brand right now that you'd want to work with and do great work for them, which one would it be? Just off the top of your head, like if you had a the perfect client, perfect brand in mind, who you would want to work with?
Jeez, that's a hard one. There are so many of them. Well, like I said, I've been trying to do I any like there I don't know. Hypebeast seems like a really cool blog, and they're doing it correctly. They're doing the blog, they're doing their online store, they're homing into that, hipster wannabe market, pretty
Who was
much.
this again? I'm sorry.
Hypebeast.
Hypebeast. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
they're doing it correctly. I'm trying to target brands kind of like that, that are into that streetwear, fashion, kind of market, and try to reach they try to reach out to those people that, are interested in that kind of stuff. It's hard to think for it's hard to think of a specific brand. Because I don't know, I've accomplished the for me personally, I've accomplished the what I wanted to do, or the brand recognition that I wanted personally. When I first started out, I was working with mom and pop stuff. Now that I've, kind of worked with these corporate giants, I'm kind of shying away from them a lot. I want to work with the guy that owns this fashion brand, and he's been doing this for years, and he's really passionate about his brand, and that's Christian from Left Field. It's really great to see other people that are passionate in their field, and I want to work with other people that share that passion and that really love what they're doing, and not just in it for the money or the recognition, but they're in it because they love what they're doing, and the quality that they're putting out there. So I guess that's the mentality of, whenever I meet with a client or the owner of a brand, I try to see if there's passion there. If there's passion there, then great, we can work together, because I feel like I can piggyback off of that, and, brainstorm better ways to make their experiences better.
Right. I think it also just helps in terms of, I mean, even if you're just thinking about the project at the base level, it just helps when both parties are excited about it, are excited about the outcome, as opposed to the developer or the designer being excited and the client just being like, okay, send me the invoice, you know? What's and this will be the last question. So what's the best advice that you've been given, I guess, about this whole industry, about development? What's some of the best advice that you've gotten?
Stay hungry, stay foolish. We all know who said that. I love that advice. It's exactly what I try to be every day. I always want to go the extra mile. I always want to work hard. I feel like that's something that my generation kind of lacks in. Everyone wants to find that easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
And I whenever I see people, they ask me, "Oh, how are you doing this?" You know, whatever. I'm like, you got to put in the work. There are countless of hours that I've spent in my parents' basement when I lived with them, just writing code, and that was it. And that was it for I did that for I think 3 or 4 months. I just wrote code, and personally, it was the best thing I've ever did for my career, because I was learning a lot, and I was putting in a lot of hard work. You're not gonna learn anything if you just slack off. You gotta go out there. You gotta try to get the clients. You gotta be your own person, and you just gotta get shit done.
Right. I totally agree about having to put in the work. I think I remember hearing something about I forgot who said it, but it was something along the lines of, it might have been Malcolm Gladwell. I'm not 100% sure, but it was about putting in sort of 10,000 hours, I think, towards whatever your passion is to become, I guess, an expert at it, but I think just to become good at it to the point where you're proficient enough to handle tasks that need to happen. You have to put in the work. It's not just about taking a course or picking up a book and then saying, you know, I can code now. Well, no, you can code that example that you did, but it's really about putting in the work, because then that gives you the knowledge to approach pretty much any situation and figure out how to break it down to its components so you can, you know, sort of produce the end result. So,
yep.
100% totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, Irv, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this interview. I really appreciate it. Where can the Revision Path audience find you online?
Twitter, Irv Brisco, IRVBRISCOE. It's, I don't know, anywhere Irv Brisco. I try to, it's really important to keep your, when you're freelancer or you're creative, it's really important to keep your branding consistent.
Uh-huh.
I try to do that in everywhere. If you go anywhere that is design related or developer related, and I don't know, do / Irv Brisco, chances are you're going to find me. At irvbrisco.com. This was great. This was another great experience for me doing interviews, and I'm definitely going to learn from this one. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that about wraps it up for this week. Thank you for tuning in to the Revision Path podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you are interested in sponsoring the podcast, there will be information in the show notes. You can sponsor either per episode or exclusively. Just check the information in the show notes, send me an email, and we can make it happen. Thanks again for listening. Peace. We'll